Thank you for joining us and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if this is your first time watching or listening to the show, know that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And I'd really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group, because sharing this show and others like it that focus on improved health, happiness, education, and success is one powerful way that we can make a positive influence in the world together. Now, our topic today is ballet. Yes, I said ballet. It's more than a form of dance. It's a holistic activity that enhances physical fitness, emotional well-being, social skills, and cultural appreciation. Now, encouraging children to train in ballet, it helps them develop skills and traits that will serve them well throughout their lives, regardless of whether they're going to pursue dance professionally or not. Now, for me, having spent over 40 years working with thousands of teenagers, I can confidently say to parents, if you want to stack the odds in your child's favor to thrive in life, get them involved in ballet or similar activities. Now, our guest today is Allie Hellman. And as you can probably guess, we're going to be talking about ballet. She's a Southern California native and the artistic director of Ballet Project OC, a nonprofit organization. Now, Allie's ballet career is quite interesting because she began at 14 years old when she moved to New York City on her own to train at the prestigious School of American Ballet. She went on to dance professionally with the New York City Ballet and Pacific Northwest Ballet, but her heart led her back to Orange County, California to pour into her community. Now, through Ballet Project OC, Allie has choreographed over 25 original works and is on a mission to establish a full-time professional ballet company in her hometown. Now, she's passionate about empowering the community by creating access to professional-level performances, mentorship, and opportunities that support the next generation of artists right here in Orange County. Allie, welcome to Answers Network.
Thank you so much for having me, Alan. What an intro. Thank you so much for that.
Well, you're very welcome. And, you know, and as I said, I've worked with so many teenagers, and in many cases, the ones that did not get involved in any part of school or any part of sports or really learned anything that allowed them to build something inside to be proud of. Mm-hmm. Instead, they maybe spent more time away from school, on the streets, things like that. Those are a lot of the ones that we ended up dealing with. Mm-hmm. And the more that I studied this, and I traveled around the world, not just here in the United States, studying how teenagers can thrive. Mm-hmm. And universally throughout the world, it is the ones that, there was a variety of things, ones that have a strong family presence, having both parents was very high on this, but also the ones that were getting involved in sports or activities that allowed them to build something to feel good about themselves. And to me, ballet does that both mentally and physically. So I was excited when I learned we were going to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I could not agree more with what you're saying. And a lot of the time people ask me, where did you learn this? Or how do you know this? And always my answer comes back to, well, when I was young, I learned this through ballet. And as I was younger, you know, it was something I loved to do. And I'm fortunate to have a blessed, you know, family and a home that cares for me and wanted to see me succeed. So having them behind me and then seeing my passion for it was just such a gift, and I'm very, very thankful for them. But really, it's very interesting. Ballet has so many facets, and it reaches, you know, across every generation, across every current age group. you know, socioeconomic status. It reaches across everything because it's such, I think a pivotal aspect of the human experience, and it's art. It's meant to reflect life, no matter where you are, where you're at. It does teach so many skills. There's a few people I work with, and they say there's always ballet students who stay with it up until high school. And we're talking like serious ballet training. They go in every day for, you know, 3 to 5 hours, 6 days a week, 6 days a week. They get into college with scholarships 90% of the time. And so it really is such a just life shaping experience that teaches you discipline, you know, consistency, how to work hard, how to show up when you don't want to show up, how do you work through challenges, you know, riding that roller coaster, which anyone can face in life.
Well, you touched on a couple of things. One is when you said, you know, somebody said, where did you learn that? And I want to come back to what that was. But then you mentioned in regards to scholarships, and the beauty of this, right now we are at a time in this country, in America, college has just gone out of control as far as the cost. Absolutely. So if you're a parent out there and you're thinking, what are the things that I can do, not only to teach my child to be self-confident and to set up some other good skills, how about get college paid for? I mean, you know, it's huge. You know, so when the parent's thinking, gosh, you know, do I really want to, God, I got to spend this money for ballet lessons or whatever. Hey, that's going to be nothing compared to when they get a scholarship and you're now not looking at mortgaging your house to put them through a top college.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I know so many of my colleagues, one in mind comes to particular, he turned down Harvard University on a full ride, and he went into the ballet industry right out of high school. Most of us will start working right after high school in our career. So, you know, a lot of, it's a common topic with parents that I deal with a lot. Oh, it's so expensive. You know, and it's more than your little league soccer game. It is, I think, so worth it. It's such an investment in your child. And I'm so thankful. And there are people out there that are willing to help those who really want to do it, but maybe don't have the means to make it happen. There are people out there to support those who really want to put their foot in that door. But yeah, college is quite a topic these days. And actually, I myself started college after my time in New York and Seattle. So I started later than most people. But I was fortunate, again, like through ballet, I learned so many things and started college online in my early 20s. And yeah, we're finishing it very soon, but just the knowledge to know, how do I, you know, finance this? My parents aren't paying for my college, you know, through high school, you learn about finances and we deal with donors. So it's so much beyond just what you do in the classroom. You know, can I jump this high? Can I turn around? Can I sit on my toes? But you really learn how to, you know, how do I approach a donor, someone who has gifted me, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars in training and materials and knowledge to go forth. And, you know, they're really planting seeds in us as young people. And it's so important that we as young people, I speak from the young people, but we really have to take responsibility and take those seeds and carry them forward and do our due diligence to pay it forward to the next generation.
I couldn't have said it any better. That's beautiful. And when you mentioned about the person asking you about how you learned that skill, talk to us a little bit about some of the skills that none of us would have thought of, you know, that you know, we'd have thought, you got that from ballet?
Sure. I can start with kind of some of the fun, light ones. Definitely, you know, as a ballet dancer, it's very physical, and I feel like it goes half and half. A lot of people will say, oh, I knew that, it's so hard. But then other people are like, oh, you just draw on your toes. You know, it's not, they don't think of it as like a sport, but it's a very athletic sport. And we train, if not harder than the NFL. We just are not treated like the NFL, you know? And it's not as popular as something like football, but it's very hard on the body. And so a lot of people don't realize all the hours of training that go into it and just the body awareness that we have to develop. we can feel, you know, our fifth cell and our pinky toe if we had to, because it requires that much attention to your body. So general body awareness, I think, is a huge pro. Even when, you know, I have a great father, he said, let's go, you know, to the golf course. He always took me growing up, which I loved. And he found, oh, you can really hit a golf ball, because that form already, things like that, transferring to other sports and activities, was so natural for me. So physical ability, for one, that one shocks a lot of people, you know, because we're painted as these dainty, you know, little ballerinas, but really it's very hardcore. So I think that surprises people a lot.
I just thought of a great marketing thing. Okay. From time to time, and I'm not a golfer, but I do get invited. So if there's a charity event or something like that, I will generally go. And some of my friends are former professional football players. So usually if I'm out there in a foursome, you know, there's a professional football player and then a few other people. Mm-hmm. I think it would be great for you to go out and to get invited. In other words, if I was putting on one of these charity events, so everybody out there, so Reggie Doss, if you're still putting on a charity event, a golf event, do this. They need to invite you.
Absolutely.
And have you outdrive some of these 300-pound football players. It would be great, but talk about great publicity for your sport. I mean, it would be incredible. And I think people would then get it, because lots of times you can say something and people go, really? Mm-hmm. But then when they see it and they go, wow, this girl just outdrove because of the body mechanics, because of the way in which you've trained your body to work. Anyway,
that's
my marketing suggestion for the time.
I'll have to get to the range and start practicing my long drives, but yes, I will. And that's a great idea.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about what it really takes. Cause you were talking about some of the skills and some of the things, how difficult it is, you know, the idea of being up on your toes and I know it takes a lot of dedication, but let's just talk about what it really takes to be a ballerina and what are the key qualities and training involved when you make the decision to pursue this path.
Absolutely. It is demanding. And even we talked about the physical side a little bit, but even more so, I want to emphasize the mental side and the intellectual side of it, because it's not quite like a sport where you have these boundaries with your coach and things. Our ballet teachers, to, you know, improve us, they care so much. And definitely the older generation, we see this a lot. They take on these kids as their own little projects. You know, they're there to make them stars. And so it's really, how much pressure can you handle? And can you separate your identity and your worth from the work that you're doing? Because at the end of the day, you know, I'm very strong in my Christian faith. And so I place my worth in that status and not what I'm doing here. Because I feel I found that when I get really wrapped up in what I'm doing, the smallest mistake becomes the biggest stumbling block for me. So for young children who grow up in ballet, it is, we're driven to be perfectionists to a big fault. And so it takes a lot of mental strength to mature and to realize that it's okay if I make a mistake every once in a while, right? We're trained to be consistent. And I think that comes down to trusting yourself. And it takes a long, long time for dancers to kind of understand that it's okay to be human. I don't have to be superhuman. But there's a lot of pressure that goes on and a lot of politics within the dance world. So it's, how strong can you be? How can you remove yourself emotionally from some of the things that you don't need to be wrapped up in? And then how do you carry yourself? Are you going to let people walk all over you? Are you going to let people manipulate you into doing what they want you to do? Even if it comes from, you know, a step all the way to, we've seen some horrible things, unfortunately, unfold in the dance world that go beyond, you know, just ballet, like breaking laws and things like that. So it can become a slippery slope if you don't have a good mind, you know? So as much as we're training the body, we're training the mind to combat those things and to stay strong and to stay focused and stay on the road to success.
You know, one of the things I'd like to touch on, because obviously I mentioned it in the introduction, but growing up away from your parents, I mean, that must have been a huge adjustment, and especially at such a young age. Can you share with us the implications of that and what that was like? I assume it's the equivalent to like going away to boarding school.
Yeah, it quite is literally a boarding school. And so for my story, it actually starts a little with my older sister. So she also left away from home, but she was 16 when she left. So we're 3 years apart. So I was maybe 12 and a half, 13 when she left home. And so I had a year of being a single child at home, which is very different for me then. But the ballet school, it's very selective, by the way. It's very hard to get into the School of American Ballet. They have about 200 students total, and that's from around the world. And about 60 kids from around the world get to do room and board. So essentially, if you're not from New York, you have a, you know, 1 in 60 chance of getting a spot if you're qualified and good enough and they see potential in you and all that. So it's such a big opportunity to get invited. And so you can't really, I say, audition. You have to get accepted into their summer training programs, even to be considered for their year-round boarding school. So it's quite a process. So I've been going to New York since I was 12 for the summertime. Like, school gets out, I fly to New York with my parents. They get me all set up in my dorm. They leave. I do my five-week camp, essentially. And then they come pick me up, bring me home. And then we did that for 3 summers. And my sister, even before that. So we had been going back and forth to New York for a while by the time it was time for me to leave home. But even the head of the school actually called my mother when I was too young. They have an age limit. They say you cannot stay in the dorms until you're 14 years old. That's the threshold they've put on it. Understandably, some people might say it's too young still, but that's the number they have. And so they called me when I was, I think, just turned 13. And I said, they told my mom, we have your older daughter, but we want you to mentally prepare. Next year, we're taking your younger daughter, you know? And for me, I was so excited. There was nothing I wanted to do more than to join my sister in New York. So it was a boarding school. And I, at a young age, I was so focused. I knew this is what I'm going to do with my life. That's another kind of skill that you have to learn to be decisive. Something that requires so much of your energy. So you have to be able to make decisions. Do I want to go to a birthday party when I'm 10, or do I want to go to rehearsal? Right. So I had to make a lot of those choices at a young age. And by the time I got to 14, there was no looking back. I mean, I was pretty much saying, see ya, mom and dad, goodbye. I'm ready.
So how much overlap was there for you and your sister once you got to New York, where you were both there at the same time?
About a year and a half.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was lucky I had big sister there with me. And my parents always say, you wouldn't even have gone if your older sister wasn't there. But, you know, it's interesting. I was very lucky. We didn't do what a lot of siblings do there. They, you know, room together. But my older sister is very independent, as most firstborns are. And she was like, you need to get your own friends. Like, now you're on my turf, kind of a thing. So we definitely were still supportive of each other, but we tried to be as independent as possible and had our own journeys there.
Well, and I remember at 2 years, at that age is a huge gap. You know, it's at my age now, 2 years is nothing. But at that time, and my boys are 2 years apart. So, it's a pretty big gap. So I can see them wanting to do their own thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was helpful. I love that my sister was there. If I needed her for anything, you know, one of us got sick, we'd take care of the other person. But for the most part, we tried to be very independent and we still saw each other every day. But my parents were very adamant about this, especially, you know, going from, I say, a very cushy, comfortable place like Orange County all the way to New York City. My parents were very adamant that they were not going to let other people raise their child, even from thousands of miles away. Mm-hmm. And so they were very adamant about FaceTiming us every day. We're seeing your face. We want to know what happened in your day, like everything. I have very involved parents because they knew the dangers. I mean, more so than I did. I was so blind to it at a young age, but they knew the dangers of, you know, sending their kid away to let kind of the world influence in a way. And so I'm very thankful that they stayed very involved in my upbringing, even from a far ways away. And I think that helped me too throughout the ups and downs of the ballet school in New York. You know, it's you're living with kids your age and they don't know how to take care of themselves either. And you're all trying to figure it out. And you have to get yourself up for school in the morning and, you know, hop on the subway by yourself at, you know, 14. That was the craziest thing to me. Like, I get on this train with a bunch of strangers by myself. What do you mean? So definitely it's that self-discipline. You got to get up. You have to go to school. I went to a public school in New York City. It's like a public charter school. They work with kids that go on Broadway or on Netflix shows. They're all working children. And so we were put in that group and were accepted to that school. And they teach us. It's very interesting. So we didn't have a very normal high school life. I went to school for 40 minutes in the morning and then went back to ballet school, had my ballet classes, went back to school, did another 40 minutes, went back to ballet school, had more classes at ballet, and then we had a private tutor come teach us the rest of our curriculum for the rest of the night.
And you have to jump on a train each way?
Yes, or walk.
Wow.
Ended up walking, which added to the physical labor.
Well, there's another way to stay in shape, I guess. Okay. Anyway, folks, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about ballet. We're talking with Allie Hellman, and she heads up the Ballet Project OC. They have an event, a Nutcracker event coming up. We're going to take a break right now, but while we're on the break, I'm looking here. Here's the website. Okay, the website is balletprojectoc.org. So while we're taking a break, if you're sitting at a computer, bring up that website, take a look. You can follow along with what we're talking about, and stay with us. If you know somebody you think would be great to be listening to this, send a message out to them. Tell them we're going to take a break. We'll be back in about 60 seconds. Stay with us.
Conflict International are experts at uncovering the truth. Our specialist team has decades of experience in providing a range of bespoke investigation and intelligence services to companies and individuals. Whether you need professional screening or background checks of employees, due diligence of potential clients or business partners, asset tracing services, or surveillance, Conflict International has a rapid response team on hand to get you to the heart of the matter. Our key strength is in our global capabilities. We can tap into an extensive network of trusted professional investigators based in most jurisdictions worldwide, enabling us to go almost anywhere a case takes us. Conflict International has decades of experience with a diverse range of skills among our team, developed from backgrounds in military and security intelligence services, as well as practiced lawyers. Visit our website today at conflictinternational.com to find out more about our services. That's conflictinternational.com. Global reach, local knowledge.
And we're back. We're talking with Allie Hellman, and we are talking about Ballet Project OC. So when we went to break, you were talking a little bit about, you know, your journey as a 14-year-old going back to New York. Take us a little bit further now to where, okay, you're there, you're going to school. I love the fact that your parents are staying incredibly involved in all of this. Let's talk about some of the maybe trials and tribulations that one has, you know, living on the other side of the country from their parents at such a young age.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, one of the first things that actually comes to mind as a trial would be first injuries. There was a few times where I had gotten pretty hurt in ballet class, or, you know, I fell and slipped and, you know, had a stress fracture, something like that happened. And even living in New York with, you know, without your parents, it's not like they can drive you to the doctor. I remember being on crutches and crutching to the doctor's office by myself. And I thought, there has to be a better way, you know? So just having that realization that, you know, I needed to take care of myself in a way that nobody could, you know. And previously, younger, it's like your parents would, you know, make sure you're fine and get you where you need to go. But definitely injuries was a big trial for me. I'm pretty tall. I know I'm sitting down. You all can't see how tall I am, but I'm pretty tall. I'm about 5'10 and a half. So I'm actually one of the tallest ballerinas in the country. And probably the tallest one contracted by the New York City Ballet to date still. And so with growing, just you're naturally more prone to be injured. And so I did have a few years where I was chronically just injured, still dancing, but dancing through a lot of pain. So that was a big trial, for sure, in my training there. Another trial was just, you know, being with a bunch of people from all over the world, and everyone having different ideas and beliefs, and even going to, you know, New York City public school, they were teaching some things that I was like, Mom, Dad, what do they say? You know, things like that, where I definitely relied a lot on my parents to kind of steer me in the right direction. But it's a time where information is so readily available at our fingertips with technology and everything. And so I think as a young person, that can be very hard to navigate if you don't have some direction on how to use it appropriately, how to, you know, engage with others through it. And ultimately, I mean, living with 60 teenagers is quite a challenge at times. And so I think through all of those different kinds of trials, they all pushed me and made me mature very young. You know, how to deal with conflict negotiation, how to, even how to deal with, we had supervisors and deans and things that lived with us. How do you live under leadership and authority? We had rules in which, you know, some people say we're so strict that we lived in a prison, you know, some things like that, where every time we left the building, we had to sign a card and say, this is the time I'm leaving, and this is the time I'm coming back, and this is where I'm going. Found you any place you weren't going, you'd be in a lot of trouble. So there are a lot of rules and regulations to abide to, because I mean, these people are signed off now as your legal guardian by your parents. And so I think with all that to say, there's a lot at stake when you go away from home. And a lot of people realize that, but then a lot of kids did not realize that. So kids would get into, you know, drugs and alcohol very young. You know, it's New York City, they look old enough, they can find their way anywhere. And so it's quite scary, I think, in nowadays with the, you know, the way the world has gone. Not that anything is super new to, you know, mankind, but it is, it's quite scary now as an adult, you know, being more aware of everything that's out there. And so when I think back to some of the kids my age were doing things I had no idea about, it's quite a scary thought. But I'm very grateful that I, you know, the path has crossed me gently, and I stayed on a dedicated route and had a good, you know, had good parents to have a good brain on my shoulders for sure.
All right. So how do you think art like ballet plays a role in keeping people hopeful when times are tough? This is going to be playing in 2024 for the first time. But, you know, we're still not that far past having gone through, you know, a pandemic in which things got very tough for a lot of people. Talk about how you think art like ballet can play a role in these situations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even just thinking back to the recent pandemic, it was shattering for a lot of artists, for a lot of ballet dancers, and even the companies, the national companies, the biggest companies in America were out of work for 3 years, and they're actually still not employing their dancers or paying them what they were to before the pandemic. And so it's definitely taken a huge toll on us. But in my unique story, I started my company in 2019 with actually no intention of kind of letting it be developing as it is today. I thought of it more of like a every summer, once a year thing, because I was employed. And so I would work somewhere else, kind of like a school year. That's where the ballet company has its fullest schedules, like September to June. And then we're laid off every summer. So no one works in the summer. And so I thought, well, I could put something together and, you know, have give some people work, and we'll come back to Orange County, and, you know, because we don't have anything stable here, and I have a big community. I grew up here, so, you know, get everyone involved and educated, and let them see what I was so fortunate to experience every day in New York. You know, why not bring it here? And so that's kind of how it started. But then during the pandemic, actually, everyone went to Zoom classes. So forget your giant warehouse studio, 20-foot high ceilings. You are now dancing on tile floor and hitting your kitchen sink with your toes, you know. So, and in my unique story at this point, I had been coming back from my second broken foot, and I moved back home right as the pandemic was starting. I was in Seattle at the time. They told us, I think you all need to go home for a little bit. Like, we don't know what this is going to be. So we all flew home, and I was ecstatic. I couldn't have been happier to come home to sunny California in such a dreary time. Better to be in, you know, the sun rather than dreary Seattle. But I was kind of at the point in my career where it's like, I'm either going to stop or I'm going to push forward and make a difference. And so I turned to my father, who's very ambitious and very supportive and an entrepreneur himself. So I turned to him and I said, I'm not dancing in our kitchen. Like, I'm coming back from a broken foot. I'm not going to risk ruining my foot forever, you know, just to dance in this time where everyone is sad and locked up at home. So luckily, we're in Orange County here, so regulations were a little different, and we very much believe in keeping consistency, and locking yourself in a dark room is not good for you in any way. And so we were very passionate about that. So we had a small group of people come together every day, and we worked, and we built our own space in one of my dad's empty work rooms that he owns a data center. So he lost actually a bunch of business during the pandemic, but to my benefit, we built a ballet studio in there. So luckily we got that all situated, and we had a space where we could come and still work on our physical, you know, abilities. And then mentally it was so great for us to not stop that work. So for us, it really started in the pandemic, where we really went to work. So I'm lucky that was a great starting point for us. And we never stopped after that. So that's how we kind of got to where we are now. We put on about, you know, 6 to 7 shows a year, different programs, and employed over 40 dancers to date, and really to help them along their journey as artists. But also, we're big on emphasizing that ethical, you know, humane kind of approach to training and helping people through their trials, especially when it comes to dance, because believe it or not, majority of dancers and artists only can find worth in their performance, which is so sad. And so we do a lot of work to really emphasize that we care about them and not just what they do. And so that's kind of the heart of like who we are and our mission, and ultimately to expand that professionalism and to pass it on.
See, and that's one of the things that I love is that, you know, that the person is bigger than the person's growth is bigger than the sport itself, to where you're recognizing the fact that there is so much more that they can not only gain from it, but that they can give from it. I think that's great. Now, I'm checking the time. I want to make sure that I talk about the performance you have coming up. So I know that you're gearing up for the Nutcracker.
Correct.
So can you tell us a bit about that and how we as viewers or listeners can be a part of this holiday magic, but at the same time, tell us more about the Nutcracker itself, because I think a lot of people don't really know the story from this level. I think, you know, they see it maybe on television or as a child, but talk a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. So we are gearing up for actually our first in-person Nutcracker ever. We did one back in the pandemic, but it was virtual because we weren't allowed to have an audience. So we green screened our Nutcracker. We had a huge green screen and we danced in front of it and we broadcasted it. So that's kind of another aspect of our company too, is because my dad is technology, he's able to have the live streaming equipment and capability to reach it across the world. And so
I like that.
We broadcast our performances, usually at certain theaters that have good, you know, connection and fiber optics, but we can literally get them across the world. And so, sorry, don't mind that. but yeah, so we're lucky that we are able to have that wide reach with our performances. But the Nutcracker is the bread and the butter of, I think, a ballet dancer and just the journey of every dancer out there. No matter what age you are, no matter if you're a beginner, a professional, you're very likely that you're going to do the Nutcracker. And so for us, it is a sense of nostalgia. It is a culmination of years of hard work. And ultimately, it's a story. It's a story that takes place about a little girl. And she's full of, you know, an imagination. And she has these, you know, big dreams. And a lot of versions kind of twist the story now to make it more applicable to our generation. But just shortly, it's about a Christmas party, a holiday party. And her parents are putting on this holiday party. So everyone's in town. It's about community. And it's another thing that's just so important about the Nutcracker is that it really does, to this day, it is the highest selling performance, no matter where you go, for every ballet company. It is quite literally what makes the ballet company thrive, is the Nutcracker. Everyone loves the Nutcracker. And so the story goes on, and the girl either falls asleep or has a dream that, you know, her doll that she was given a Nutcracker back in the day, like her baby doll, comes to life and becomes her prince. And they go on this journey together and into this, you know, fantastic, whimsical, made-up land of sweets, where they all bring something new to her, a different flavor. A lot of them are actually based off different cultures. And so on top of the community aspect, it's a celebration of global cultures, which I love. It's unfortunate. Some people are very much stripping that away now. I see it as something so beautiful that they can all exist together. And I think that's a wonderful approach that maybe we need to see a little bit more of nowadays. But that's kind of Nutcracker in a nutshell. And at the end, every little region is named with a candy as well. So you have like Arabian coffee or Spanish hot chocolate, and things like that go all the way down to the end. And then kind of the queen of the land of sweets does a little dance, and she's more of like the motherly figure to the character. So it's quite an inspirational story that allows everyone to enjoy something about it. You know, whether it's the beautiful dancing or the storyline, or even, you know, for young girls, for young people, definitely a lot of dancers say, I saw the Nutcracker and I said, take me to ballet class. And that's how a lot of young children start. So it's a magical time. And we would love to invite your viewers and any of the community, anyone in the Southern California area, even if you're not, we have virtual options as well, but after the fact, so probably a little after Christmas, we'll be releasing everything in the holiday season still. But you can get tickets at our website, and it's going to be located at the Yorba Linda Cultural Arts Center, which is a brand new facility, well, relatively new, right, since the pandemic. Beautiful little theater in Yorba Linda. And there's really nothing out there that way. So we're very fortunate to have the opportunity to share some holiday magic with the region.
Well, I love that. We're going to take another break, but we're going to have a little bit more information on this because I've got a couple more questions. So for everybody out there, stay with us. But again, this is a time. If you go to balletprojectoc.org, you can follow along. You can see what it is that we're talking about. So stay with us. Let a few people know what we're talking about, and we'll be right back. You're listening to or watching Answers Network. Having a teenager at risk who is going through a traumatic experience can be difficult on parents, siblings, and all who are working with that young person. No family should have to go through this process alone. Westshield Adolescent Services is here to ensure you don't have to. Many of the psychologists and psychiatrists we work with have spoken about the stress families go through, not just the young person, but the parents needing to get their child to a program where they can get the help they need. Westshield aims to lessen that stress. Every case goes through a thorough intake process with one of our knowledgeable, compassionate intake coordinators. We want to know the likes, the dislikes, and the fears of each child. This important information is taken into consideration when choosing the best suited team member for each individual teenager. Westshield agents come from all different walks of life, giving us a diverse group of team members to ensure a personalized, compassionate experience for every teenager. This allows us to make certain every young person we work with gets to the chosen program in the best possible state of mind. We contacted over 600 of the youth we've worked with in the past to see where they're at now. 97% of these individuals told us how much their lives had improved, that they had better relationships with their friends and families, had gone on to marry, have kids, and were now using the skills they learned in their program to raise their own children. Our role of transporting at-risk teenagers is a vital step in the process of ensuring a youth's ability to thrive in their new environment, and is a role we don't take lightly. The recovery process can be a long one, but like any journey, it started with a single step. And we're back. We are speaking with Allie Hellman, and we are talking about the Ballet Project OC. Allie, you said that there's a variety of different productions that you've put together. Are these all, are they streaming to the point in which people can go to the website if they want to watch something different? Or, is it a one-shot deal? And do people subscribe? How do we get more involved?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So our network for the ballet streaming is called Ballet Project TV. And it is a website where it's almost like an on-demand. They're available for purchase, and then they get a virtual ticket link, and they're able to watch whenever they want that particular ballet or piece.
Okay.
But we have put together many, many works, and they're very high caliber. We're very proud of the work we've created, and a lot of it is new work. So we're empowering the next generation, the people coming up that are going to be the movers and shakers of the industry. So we're very excited about that. But more tickets and live performances are kind of a one-shot deal, as we like to say. But tickets can all be found on our website. It's our website, www.balletprojectoc.org/tickets. Okay. And for the Nutcracker season, we'll have a variety of four different times and dates for shows for our audiences. And in addition to that, I want to highlight, we have a Nutcracker tea for our little ones. That we will do a story time, a craft, a snack, and actually get them on stage and to do a little something, whatever they would like to do or partake in. But to have them really experience the magic firsthand, we're excited about that little event. And I'd love to extend an offer to your viewers using a code ANSWERS! To get involved and to show up and just to really spread love and community of what ballet can bring to you.
Well, first of all, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And again, I highly recommend anybody that's local that can go online, see what the date that works best for you. But you mentioned the thing that you're doing for the young ones. What is the youngest age or the right age for someone to start getting involved in ballet?
I don't think there's a limit. I have seen as far back as I can open my eyes and bring them to the ballet. There's something so magical, even just about classical music, that even to infants can make a difference, can soothe them. So I don't think there's an age limit to ballet. I think no matter where you are in life, whether you have a two-year-old, or you're 88, there's something to enjoy at the ballet. That's something I love about it. I've been fortunate to see all of my colleagues, even become pregnant, and then they bring their kid to ballet the next 3 weeks, and they have them in the corner. So there's nothing off limits at the ballet.
Well, I like that. Yeah. And it's interesting. I'm a new grandpa, and
congratulations.
And she's just starting to walk. And so I love the fact that you know, she's holding on to the thing, and she's already up on her tiptoes because she's trying to look over the little thing there, you know, the little area that she's in, and she's already up on her tiptoes. And so I started smiling the last time I saw her recently, and she was doing that, and I knew we were doing this show, and I thought, that looks like a ballet move to me.
It does. That's how it starts sometimes.
And she's not yet, and she's 11 months.
Oh, how sweet. Well, yeah, let me know if you'd like to bring her. I'll make sure you have some seats.
There we go. I will be checking to see if mom and dad want to, then I will definitely be going. I want to share something else for everybody else out there is, you know, if you didn't catch it when I first mentioned it, but Ballet Project OC is a nonprofit organization. So even if you can't attend, you know, a generous donation is one way that you can make a positive difference in the lives of young people. You can do it today. You know, so again, if you go to the website, you can learn more about it. You can realize that this is a beautiful project. And it's something that, from the standpoint of the arts, big believer in the importance of the arts. And it's something that that has been being cut back and cut back and cut back as far as government funding. Mm-hmm. And we need to focus on, you know, instead of gross national product, let's focus on gross national happiness. Let's focus on gross national health. And we can do these by supporting projects like this. So again, I just really cannot emphasize enough how important this is and why people do need to get involved. Allie, we've got just a couple more minutes. What else is it that you would like to share?
Yeah, absolutely. I thank you for sharing that. It's definitely, we are a donation-based company. And though we apply for many, many grants, state, county, and nationally, the answer is always very difficult, you know, to put in a lot of work into grant writing. So we completely now are reliant on the private sector. And that is our path forward, we believe. I don't quite believe, this gets a little slightly political, but I don't quite believe that the government should be funding every arts company. And so I believe in hard work. And so I am a hard worker and I go after it. But I'm very passionate about drawing more people to see what we see and to see that in young people and to let them experience the arts and let them grow up. And to learn these things, to be mature, to be diligent, to be disciplined and put their best foot forward in everything. It's truly shaping the lives of young people. And so we are donation reliant. So if your listeners are inclined, we are very appreciative. Every dollar goes towards a dancer, a bill. There's always things to be paid for overhead. And so we are a nonprofit. Those are tax deductible. On top of that, if you have a business, we have advertising opportunities in our programs. It's another way a lot of people like to contribute is in our programs. You know, it sees a good hundreds of people in the holiday season where you can put your company logo or your brand into our program and you get a copy of all the other businesses that also cooperate. And so it's a little fun way to support, but also you do get some contacts and some possible connections from that. So it's another way that we like to work with our local businesses.
It's very nice. Well, Allie, again, thank you so much. And for everybody out there, I will be going online and I will be looking to see which one of these performances is going to work best. And if I can get my son, daughter-in-law, and grandchild out there, I'll do the same. So again, Allie, thank you so much for what you're doing. You're making a positive difference in the world. And that's what we love. That's what this show is about. So thank you.
Thank you for having me, Alan. Such a pleasure.
All right. Now, for everybody out there, please visit our archives of past interviews at answers.network or just subscribe to the show through Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Rumble, Spreaker, and many other popular platforms. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It'll help us reach more people, and I want you to know that we greatly appreciate it. And the next time you're on Instagram, Facebook, or X, please stop by our page. Again, that's Answers Network. And check out some of our shows. If you like them, please like us and spread the word. For everybody out there, wishing you a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and a prosperous New Year. Thank you.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.